Welcome to Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. I'm your host, Jackie Blunt, and I have the pleasure of hosting our show, Chaos to Calm. I'm a family doctor from New Zealand, for those of you who haven't heard the series before, an holistic MD with a special interest in healing and life transformation. I'm also a neuroscience, Ren Shui, and Yuan Gong teacher. On this series of programs, we've been talking to people who are enjoying their lives in a calm and relaxed state using tools derived from ancient wisdom traditions. Ren Shui is a comprehensive path to wellness that works on opening our hearts and developing, understanding and utilizing the amazing abilities of our minds. Ren Shui also has tools to work directly on the body and its energy. One tool is Yuan Gong, a contemporary form of Qigong that melds graceful movements with meditation and breath to improve health and well-being. On our show today, Up, Up and Away, Taking Off with Ren Shui, it's my pleasure to introduce my two guests, Bill McMillan and Sally Hines. Hello there.
Oh, hi, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, great to have you on the show. If you've been listening to our series, you will have heard Bill before. He has been co-hosting our series. Bill is a retired psychotherapist who has a history of working with adolescents, families, veterans, and trauma survivors. Bill's been practicing Ren Shui and Yuan Gong style Qigong for years. He's currently a Ren Shui and Yuan Gong teacher in the San Francisco Bay Area, and runs a weekly Yuan Gong class for people affected by cancer. Welcome, Bill.
Thanks, Jackie.
It's a bit rude when I say that you've been teaching for years, that I was thinking I could probably introduce you a little bit more gracefully there.
that sounded fine.
Okay.
That's close enough.
Now, Sally, like myself, Sally, and like Bill, Sally is also a Ren Shui practitioner, and she's trained as a teacher, but Sally is very busy at the moment. She's president of Ren Shui of the Americas. Sally's background is in business and particularly in non-profit organizations, and she's had a career focused on administration and project management. She has experience in all three sectors, private, public, and non-profit. And she's really specialized in helping organizations navigate through transition. Sally began her Ren Shui teacher training in 2013. She joined the board for Ren Shui Americas in 2014, and she's currently president. My goodness, Sally. So you have this business background, and you're now president of an organization that specializes in human development. And how did you come to do that?
Hi, Jackie. So I retired at the very end of 2012, and a friend of mine who's a member of the community had lent me a book that was written by Yuan Sa, our teacher, and had been sitting on the sideboard for a half a year because I was too busy. But once I retired, I thought, oh, well, I'll pick up the book. So started reading and was quite enthralled and quite impressed. And as is my wont, I thought, well, I'm going to really check this out as thoroughly as I possibly can. So knowing that, you know, you really learn things best if you know how to teach them. So I signed up for the teacher training. And I also went to the retreat, the first one after that, which was in April of 2013. And, you know, I really wanted to understand what is Ren Shui and how it's put together. And also, frankly, I wanted to check out the teacher because to me, the founder and the visionary is such a key role. And it's so important to me, the level of integrity, just who the person is. So I went to the retreat and then continued, went to teacher training and numerous retreats and trainings ever since. And I have to say, you know, the longer I'm involved, the more impressed I am by Yuan Sa and his integrity, his humility, his brilliance, actually. And, you know, I think I come from a little bit of a different background. So many of the people and the earlier shows have talked about health issues or injuries. And I really came to Ren Shui in quite good health and quite good energy. And as a retired person, you know, having the energy, I had still had the desire to do something that has meaning to me, to give myself to something that really is meaningful. And so I did this exploration and, you know, like you say, I'm now president of the organization. So,
gosh, I'm just listening, Sally, and I'm like, you're a mover and a shaker, aren't you? When you decide to do something, you really do it.
Yes, I'm an all-in kind of person. Yeah.
And I was really interested to hear, you know, you came into it, as you said, from quite a different angle to many of the people who came in. You came in with good health, and I really hear that kind of systems analysis part of your mind approaching it with a, well, what is this system and how does it work and is it effective? So I'm really interested to ask you, as someone who is coming in with that perspective, what do you notice about the Ren Shui system? Why have you stayed with it?
So there are a few things. One is the concept of health as not just being the absence of illness or injury, but really health being a continuum that, as far as we know, doesn't have an upper limit. You know, I want to keep getting healthier and I want to keep getting stronger. And, you know, my vision is that that's possible. And, you know, Ren Shui supports that. And so also, I think another really important thing is the integrated approach rather than the compartmentalized approach. You know, my experience with medicine had been something goes wrong, you go, you get it fixed, or you take a pill, and that's it. But what I like about Ren Shui is, you know, the nothing's excluded. You work on the body, you work on your energy, you work on your mind, you work on your heart. And, you know, underpinning all that is a theoretical basis.
Very nice. And I like the way that you've put that together. And I'm thinking, I wonder if you have an analogy that you could use to make it easy for our listeners to understand what you mean by how all those different parts work together.
Uh-huh. Well, one that comes to mind is actually from one of Yuen's books, where he talks about the human life as being comprised of three parts, much like an automobile, that you have the physical body, which is like the body of a car, and then the car also needs fuel to run, and that would be comparable to qi and energy in the body. And, you know, even if you have those things, you could just be driving around in circles if you don't really have an intelligence, you could call it the steering wheel, but really the intelligence behind the steering wheel that takes you in a meaningful direction. And wow. that, of course, would be our minds.
Got it. Okay. So I'm just thinking about all that, and I'm wondering, do you have an experience that of working on everything together or on working on one particular component that you would like to share with our listeners to kind of illustrate what the practice has done in your life?
Oh, yeah, sure. I think I have a story sort of dates back to my early childhood. So when I was a very young girl, I remember standing in the kitchen. I was one of five siblings. I was standing in the kitchen. I was probably maybe 6 or 7 years old. And I can't remember what I asked my father, but I can remember my state. I was feeling very exuberant and kind of wonderful. And I asked for something. And the response I got from my father was, well, you're not the only pea in the pod. And it's interesting because that statement went deep inside of me. And I think it kind of got a bit twisted from probably what was his intention. And of course, his intention was probably that, you know, I needed to consider the other siblings, that, you know, my desires weren't the only desires. But the way it went into me, and it went underground, actually, so I didn't think the thought, but it was that being a pea in the pod, there was like a limited amount of well-being or a limited amount of how good I should feel. Because if I felt too good, that the other peas would suffer for that. And so throughout my life, and I just uncovered this really since I've been working with, you know, patterns of thought in Ren Shui, but what I realized was underneath any time in my life when I start to feel really, really good, I sabotage it. You know, I'll eat something that I'm allergic to, or, and I never thought the thought, but it operated from underneath. And so, you know, as we do in Ren Shui, once we uncover these patterns of thought, we replace them. And so obviously I've replaced it with the notion of qi, this like unlimited source that I can bring into my body. And not only that, but sort of the better I feel and the more I uplift my life, not only do I not hurt the others, but actually people in my proximity can benefit from my good state.
Wow. So you've actually seen a lot of change. And I guess going back to your car analogy, that is really working on the intelligence that is behind the steering wheel and where the whole vehicle of your life is going, but also not only the effects on you and where you're going, but the effects on the other road users around you, or if you like, and that's such a great expression, the other peas in the pod, and maybe the other pods on the plant, and maybe the other plants in the garden, and so on and so on.
Right.
May I say something?
Good.
This is Bill. Yeah, I mean, I love that analogy, Sally, of peas in the pod. To me, it sounds like your father was suggesting that there are other people in the family that need attention besides you, and which is often true in families, I've found. And one of the things that it strikes me about your participation in the world is how much you've been doing for other people. In terms of organizing things and certainly working with Ren Shui of the Americas and all that. And it sounds like the program has helped you to bring your attention to yourself in a really healthy way, as opposed to always just taking care of other people.
I think that's absolutely true, Bill. That's a good insight. Yeah, well, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say we're all benefiting from that, but go for it.
Yeah, I was just going to say some of the other things that really appeal to me about Ren Shui. Well, of course, that it's safe and effective. You know, as you get older, I mean, I did have a car accident a dozen years ago and fully recovered and really have no ill effects from it. But, you know, it is important for me to do things that are safe and are effective. And for sure, I can say, you know, Ren Shui is effective because I feel like I'm much more stable internally. I feel like I have more control of my state. I'm better able to maintain equilibrium. And I've witnessed so many people that have benefited in so many different ways. But I personally, you know, don't have so much experience except my own that it's safe. And I really am curious, Jackie, you know, with your experience in medicine and teaching, what's your take on the safety of Ren Shui?
It's a good question. And I think in general, from what I've seen and the huge variety of people I've seen doing Ren Shui, the way the system is taught is very safe because, you know, there's always discussion and emphasis on people doing Ren Shui in a way that is respectful of their body where it is now, you know. So the only times that I've seen people having problems They're very few, but they're basically when people have kind of pushed with their mind and gone a lot faster than their bodies want to. So one example is someone spoke to me about, you know, when they were just determined to do their practice and they only had, you know, 10 minutes for a 20-minute practice, so they went really fast and then they experienced some problems after that. And sometimes I've seen people just focus in a very kind of tight way on one particular practice. So Ren Shui teaches that the practice should always fit the condition and that practice should be built in an incremental way, taking care of our individual physical and mental states. So from what I've seen, very, very safe. And I think that is really important to me as an MD. I have sometimes treated people who have done practices and had issues following on from them. Certainly, I can't say Ren Shui never has that, but Ren Shui, excuse me, when it's done as it's taught, usually works very well. What about you, Bill? What have you seen?
Yeah, what I've seen in with some of the people that have been in my classes, you know, they come in with different physical issues, and the bigger problem is trying to get them to not go too fast. Because, for example, there's a woman in the cancer program now is having problems with her shoulder, and she's really frustrated. She wants the shoulder to be better now, and it turns out she's kind of impatient generally. So this isn't the only place where it's showing up. And the goal for her is to help her really settle back down into it and allow the energy in the body to take care of itself instead of having her push it. So it goes in different directions depending on the person, I think.
Nice. Yeah, I identify with that pattern. I was very much that way when I first came into Ren Shui. Wanted everything to get better right now. And it took me a while to kind of extend that out to the driver behind the wheel and to see that pattern playing out in the rest of my life. So we're going to take a short break now and we'll be right back. We're going to be talking about some of the other people that we've talked to on the program, and we're going to be talking about Ren Shui, where it's going and what it's doing around the world. And then later on in the show, we're going to be talking about how you can link up with Ren Shui, what the opportunities are. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome to Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. This is the second segment of our show, Up, Up and Away, Taking Off with Ren Shui. And I'm your host, Jackie Blunt. We have been talking on this series of shows about Ren Shui and using tools derived from ancient wisdom to bring calm and relaxation to life. We've been talking to lots of different people about how they've used Ren Shui to bring peace and harmony to their relationships, lightness and wisdom to the transition through death, vitality to their bodies and their lives, release from trauma and addiction, and positive transformation in so many different aspects of human life. So I'm going to be talking to Sally and Bill now, who are both on the board of Ren Shui Americas, about what Ren Shui Americas is up to and where you're going. So guys, love to hear what's happening.
Sure, I can start. Is that okay, Bill?
Of course.
So, you know, we are a fairly young organization, and the organization is growing, but we have this general feeling that it's a difficult time in general in the world, and Ren Shui has so much to offer that we really wanted to try to reach as many people as we possibly can. And we have right now like 220 teachers globally and another 120 or so in training. But still there's a lot of the world out there. And so we thought, well, let's start a program that is really independent of someone finding a teacher. Of course, if you have a teacher in your vicinity or you know someone, you know, that's awesome. But if you don't, there's what we're now calling our at-home learning program. And this is something anyone, anywhere, anytime can learn the Yuan Gong Qigong methods. And there are going to be 7 different courses. Right now we have 4 available. These are the 4 that deal with the body and qi. So I think that's one of our biggest endeavors right now. We'll have 3 more segments. These will be the ones that deal with the heart and the mind to come up. And the other thing we want to focus on, and we have been for the past year, is an outreach program. And Bill happens to be heading up that for us. So Bill, could you tell us about the outreach program?
Sure. When I came on the board, this was one of the directions that the board had been talking about going, is how to get it out there more. And at the kind of concurrently, I had been trying to get connected to a hospital locally right near here, because I went through a health crisis a few years ago that had to do with a tumor, and I went in and out of some of the cancer oncology programs around here, and it turned out I didn't have a malignant tumor. It was removed. Everything was fine. But I spent a lot of time with cancer patients. And I decided to see if I could start teaching Qigong to cancer patients. It's done in a lot of different places. And so anyway, I started that program and then got on the board. And right now we've got this program with Marin General Hospital, and Kaiser Permanente is connected with it. My co-teacher Janice Scott is about to start a program up in Sonoma. She is a breast cancer survivor herself. The particular program we're in now is starting to expand to have all different kinds of chronic illnesses in it and stuff. So we're really moving towards a medical direction to work with Qigong. And then there are other people who are working with elderly people in retirement homes. And there's somebody who is working with the Lighthouse for the Blind in San Francisco for working with blind people or people with vision impaired people. And so we've got a bunch of different directions going. And it's fun. And my excitement about it actually is largely about encouraging teachers to get out and teach and trying to support them in doing that. So it gets me involved with other people, and it's fun. And I really like the class. The people in the cancer class are really into it. So it's, you know, a lot of good stuff from different directions for me.
Yeah, that's a lot, and it's great. So, Bill, I'm hearing the enthusiasm, and I'm thinking, what are you noticing that people are getting out of these classes? What is it that you're sharing that is inspiring you guys, all of you, to just keep going and keep moving into different areas? What are you seeing?
Well, among I think one of the most consistent things that happens with anybody that gets a pretty intense diagnosis is a sense of isolation. And, you know, I'm doing this alone, it's happening to me, and all that kind of mind stuff that goes on. So on the most basic thing that goes on is that they've got a group of people around them that are working together. And I would say the primary emphasis of the Qigong that we teach is that it's about taking control of your mind and your body and the healing that goes on in the body. So we're not handing it off to doctors and letting them take care of it. This is an opportunity for us to participate in a really intense way. And so it's really empowering, and I think people really like that part of it. But at the same time, it's really relaxing. And, you know, they're usually living with a lot of doubt and confusion and often a lot of symptoms, pain and tiredness and a lot of things like that. And so the practices themselves help people's bodies to relax, their minds to relax, and hopefully bring a little bit more clarity to the kinds of decisions they need to make, because they have to make a lot of very difficult decisions about treatment and whether they're going to go along with it, how they feel about going along with it, and that kind of stuff. So it's pretty interesting, but the primary thing we really are focusing on is trust. Trusting themselves, trusting their bodies, trusting possibilities.
There's another thing, Jackie, behind this program, which is we do have a private foundation that is funding it, providing seed money. They see such value in going to organizations, you know, that has like a ready-made population that might benefit from what we have to offer. So, you know, I just would put it out there that if you have an organization, if you have a program, and you see any possibility that your participants might benefit from Qigong, Yuan Gong, and Ren Shui, you know, just contact us. You know, our address is on our website, info@renshuitheamericas. And, you know, we can talk and see if there's a good fit. And like I say, there's some money available to help kickstart the program.
Yeah, really, really interesting. And just I'm thinking about the people I see, and when there's a diagnosis that is pretty intense, as you said, Bill, and just how suddenly we can lose trust in our bodies. I recall as a 21-year-old being intensely ill and in a coma, and just how difficult it was to trust my body on the way out of that. And also I couldn't find anybody to kind of help me on that journey, to help me understand what was going on. And I think that social support is just so important, and having an organization there, Sally, like, you know, Ren Shui Americas, to help connect people, to help connect people who can help and support and people in need, is a really vital bridge. And especially I would just like to hear your views on Ren Shui, kind of, you know, what is it? Is it a philosophy? Is it, you know, what is it really about? What are you teaching people?
Well, I think that Ren Shui is really about life development, and the tools that we use are the Qigong practices. And so, among other things, one of the major things that goes on with somebody that has a serious illness is that it isn't just about that person. It affects everybody around them. So the families, in some ways, I think, struggle more than a person who's been diagnosed, depending on pain levels and stuff like that, because they feel helpless and they're not the folk, and nobody's paying attention to them. So the Ren Shui that we are about here is about widening the whole picture. It isn't just about my person, my body. It's about my impact on other people around me. So, for example, with somebody who's got, working with chemotherapy, and they're depleted and that kind of stuff, one of the things that is possible is that they, by doing the practices, they can gather enough energy to be clear about the impact they're having on other people and offer something there. And that's, I mean, it's really a gift to be able to give some energy to other people when you're sick. That's been my experience. I've had a lot of surgeries and that kind of thing for different things. So, I mean, it's about including everybody, including the whole picture, instead of just a patient. And to me, that makes it much more interesting and a way to play with it. We're all involved. But, you know, it's like a playground here if somebody's sick, instead of a sick ward. Bring them all. let's make it work together.
I think it's really beneficial to feel like you have an active role you can play in your own healing. Even if you're undergoing surgery or very serious surgery, there's still so much you can do. You're not just a passive sort of victim of your circumstances, you can get in there and really improve your chi condition and accelerate your healing and find a positive state of mind to also help. And Jackie, I know. Sorry, go ahead, Bill.
I was just going to say absolutely, and I think that if somebody has a sense of even a little bit of control about what's going on, there's a possibility for a kind of lightness in it. You know, it's like we don't have to all be sucked down into fear and worry and doubt. It's also we can participate with each other. There's something really healing about connection as opposed to isolation, and that's one of the things that I see is really helpful about this kind of program.
And I so often see family burnout, and so that is a very beautiful experience that you're sharing and seeing in your group, where you're seeing people actually moving out of total depletion and being able to give. You know, such an important feeling, isn't it, being able to give to our families as well as receiving. And Sally, I'm really hearing that, and really from both of you, I'm hearing that kind of taking the power back. You know, this is my life, you know, however it is now, this is still my life and this is still my journey, and I'm playing with it. I mean, yeah, making it a playground instead of a sick room, I think that's a wonderful analogy. It brings so much joy into the whole thing.
Absolutely. I mean, sickness is a family event. It's a team sport. It's a lot of things. You know, it's about the intention and attitude you take to it. And part of my personal way of teaching is through humor. You know, I mean, it's good for us to laugh, especially when things seem really difficult. And it's a lot easier to teach if there's some humor involved in it, to me.
You know, there's another area, Jackie, that it would be so good to break into, although we don't have any specific plans yet, but you know, it's hard. There's so many people who put Qigong in a sort of way out there category, and they don't really see the practical value and how it can work with for them. And it can work in conjunction with, you know, Western medicine, as we were talking. But, you know, we would love to find an opportunity to do research, to, you know, find a platform to do some testing and just, you know, show how effective Qigong, especially Yuan Gong Qigong, is. And it is being done. You know, Harvard is doing it and Stanford's doing it. Very reputable institutions are doing research and coming up with impressive results, but it still seems to me, you know, in my day-to-day experience, that it seems far away still for a lot of people.
Well, I think I'd just add that one thing that has gotten really fully into the medical system and into the rest of the world these days is mindfulness-based stress reduction and stress reduction in general. And one of the ways that we have presented this to hospitals is that this is a very effective stress reduction approach. And stress adds all kinds of issues to healing problems. And so it's not that far off, I don't think.
I think, you know, certainly in the world of medicine, research is the gold standard. And research, as we know, is very expensive and time-consuming, and especially research that's done well. But it would be really, really great to have a body of research to analyze and look at the changes and just see exactly what is going on. I think that's an important development.
Yeah, and you know, I was looking at the Center for Disease Control website not too long ago, and the number of people 50 and above who fall, and the medical costs of falls, and then subsequent falls is just incredible. And even on the Center for Disease Control website, they recommend Qigong as something to help strengthen the legs and help prevent falls.
Nice, really nice. And I can certainly see that from the effects on the physical body and the energy as well. But I don't know if you guys have noticed this in your own life, something, this is just anecdotal, but something I've really noticed, and as someone over 50, this is quite important to me, I have far fewer accidents because I'm much, much more present. You know, my mind and my body are much more connected. I'm not thinking, you know, 2 years in the future when I'm walking out the door, not looking where I'm going. So, you know, less falls and less accidents together. I mean, obviously that doesn't cover the whole field, but have you guys noticed that at all?
I have definitely noticed more presence in my body, which I think does lead to fewer accidents. I'm not so accident prone, but I do tend to get far away from my body. My mind and my body can really get far apart. So definitely these practices of unification have helped a lot.
I don't know if this is exactly the same thing, but one of the things that I've noticed, just for example, walking through a crowded grocery store, is a certain level of fluidity that I'm finding very pleasant to play with as I'm moving through a room with a lot of people in it. And that's, I mean, just this sense of flow and kind of grace of movement comes out of these practices, and I'm finding it a really interesting thing to see going on in my life.
Yes, I also noticed that, and I love it. It's just it's such a fine thing to have in your life. So I'm just going to take us, we're going to have another wee break now, and then we'll be right back. We'll be talking about ways that you as listeners can access Renshui, what's going on in the Americas, what's going on around the world. So stay with us, and we'll be right back after the break. Thank you. Welcome back to Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. This is your host, Jackie Blunt, on the show series, Chaos to Calm. Our episode today is called Up, Up and Away, Taking Off with Renshui. And I've been talking to Bill McMillan and Sally Hines. They are on the board of Renshui Americas. And so, Bill and Sally, if people are interested in getting some of the benefits that we've been talking about and experiencing Renshui and Yuangong Qigong, you've talked about the at-home learning program, Sally. Bill, you've talked about some classes in the Bay Area. What else is happening?
So I think, you know, what we want to do is to make anybody in their, whatever their life situation is, however much time they have, whether they're an introvert or an extrovert, whether they like to study alone or with others, to have a way in, a doorway for them into Renshui. And one exceptional way right now is the most recent book that's been published. It's called Wellbeing Begins With You. And this is available for reading. It's very accessible, and, you know, it includes a lot of personal stories and testimonials, and really outlines the whole Renshui and Yuengong. And actually, there's another branch, which is the Qi healing. So that's one great entryway. Another one would be, you know, finding a teacher. Working with the teacher, there are teachers that you have classes, in-person classes, there are online classes through Skype or other ways, you know, Zoom or other one of those programs. You know, then there's the workshops and the retreats. Maybe Jackie or Bill, maybe you want to talk about some of those.
Well, I was really interested to find out recently, Sally and Bill, that we have a teacher as far away as Norway. I knew we had someone in South Africa and people scattered through Europe and Australia and New Zealand, and quite a lot in Sweden too, aren't there?
There are quite a lot in Sweden, and there's a couple in South America.
Yeah, huh? I was just going to say.
You know, we had a restructuring, and we have become Rentschwa of the Americas. And so now we're really trying to expand, not just to Canada and the States, but, you know, down into South America, Central America. And so we're really excited that we have one credentialed teacher down there, and now we have a few people who've expressed interest.
Well, and there's an effort afoot to translate all of these works into Spanish too, right?
That's right. That's Rentschwa of the Americas, but Rentschwa of Europe is translating into multiple languages, you know, Portuguese, German, and so on. You know,
we're taking over.
Probably one of the best ways to really launch yourself into this is to attend a retreat. And actually, we have a retreat coming up in just a few weeks. It's in California. It's not too late to sign up. It's a 2-week retreat down in Fresno. And this is a retreat given by our teacher, Yuensa, who founded Rentschwa and developed the whole Yuan Gong system. And we're pretty excited because for the first time, we're going to stream the retreat. So people who aren't able to take 2 weeks off work, or, you know, aren't quite certain that, you know, they're ready for a 2-week retreat, they're able to stream it and watch it. It'll be available for a month, watch it sort of in their own time frame. So, you know, you can do this through registering through our website, www.rentschwatheamericas.org.
Can I give a short story about what happened to me on that retreat?
Sounds
Please
great.
Do.
This was in 2013, 2012. I forget what year it was, but I went there with the intention of leaving that retreat and then a week later going to have my right knee replaced. I'd been having all kinds of knee problems. And I went to the retreat because my wife had been going to it, and she said, why don't you come? You know, maybe you'll learn a few things you can do to help in your healing afterwards when you're lying on the bed in the hospital or something. So I reluctantly agreed and I went. And after about 3 or 4 days, the pain in my knee went away, totally mysterious to me. And it freaked me out. I was actually really upset because this did not fit my picture of the world, how the body works or how healing works or anything like that. And it took the whole retreat for me to kind of come to grips with that fact that something actually had really changed. And I didn't know what happened. Iwanza described it as just like a momentary openness, enough openness to allow possibility for something to really transform, and it did. And I still haven't had any surgery on that knee.
That's really impressive.
I know, it's crazy.
It is kind of crazy, isn't it? And we, you know, pain gets to be an old friend, or, you know, just the way we know ourselves and the way we think about ourselves and our body or a particular part of our body, it gets to be so habitual. So, you know, a sudden big change like that, it's kind of like having an earthquake through your consciousness, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, I think most of us live with a kind of belief that we're in a slow, you know, kind of decline, not just decline, or we're falling apart, you know, piece by piece as we get older. And, you know, I'm finding that that's really not the case. I mean, issues come up and I'll probably have to deal with some things along the way, but there's a whole different attitude about it that I have at this point. It doesn't feel like an inevitable downward tumble.
No.
Or at least if I tumble, I'll be able to roll easier.
It's that belief in degeneration is very, very strong, isn't it? I know, you know, part of my challenging my state of health and restoring my knees to their now full and youthful function and complete comfort, having had that daily pain, you know, part of that has been really restructuring my whole thinking and belief about my health and kind of coming to, I finally created and I really enjoy the feeling that it is completely possible for me and my body to move through life and come to the end of life with every part intact and functioning beautifully. But requires me to take a lot more notice of what I need moment to moment and day to day. But it's so much more fun actually doing that.
My vision is that I'm just going to get stronger and stronger and then one day just turn out the lights.
Nice, Sally.
You're just going to explode at the end, Sally. That's how it's going to go.
Really, oh, really nice. Oh, I think I might add that bit on to my thinking. I like that.
So, you know, there are quite a few workshops and retreats, and they're basically in two categories, the ones that UNSA personally conducts. And after the Fresno, the retreat in California, there's going to be a one-day public talk, an evening talk at the California Institute of Integral Studies in San Francisco. And then the following weekend, there will be a workshop in Calgary, Canada. And then June, there'll be a 7-day retreat in the Netherlands. And then there's an 11-day retreat in Sweden. That's the end of June and the beginning of July. And then in mid-July, there'll be a workshop in Ireland. And then, of course, he'll also do the teacher training in November in New Zealand. And then the other category are the teacher-led retreats. And Jackie, you probably have the most experience with those. You know, UNSA started teaching in New Zealand, so you guys in New Zealand are pretty, I think you're kind of ahead of us, actually, and you've been doing your own retreat for quite a while, right?
Well, I think I just might quietly put aside the being ahead of you guys. I think you guys are sprinting. And we have been doing retreats for a little while, and it's been great. We have an annual national teacher-led retreat, which is really fun. Teachers come from all over New Zealand and Australia to teach and practice together, and that's for a week. And I find with the week-long or the two-week-long retreats, whether they're teacher-led or UNSA-led, they just give you that time to really focus on a particular aspect of your life that you want to change and transform for the positive. And then you get the time to actually do the work and change your mental habits and really restore your chi and get it flowing very well, so that change is so much easier, because change does require energy. It takes chi. So having a good time to actually work on something is really nice. Mm. We also do weekend retreats. Various teachers do them around New Zealand. And gosh, there are lots of those in Europe as well. France, Germany, Portugal, Sweden. Soon after our program on the 6th and 9th of April is running a workshop for people with back and shoulder and hip problems specifically. So all kinds of things going on, aren't there?
There really are. And, you know, organizationally, it's quite exciting. You know, at the end of 2015, UNSA announced, I don't know if you want to call it a restructuring, but it's, you know, the global Renshwick community really came to life. And we're starting to meet, you know, cooperatively, the different organizations, Renshwick, Europe and Australasia and so on. And, you know, it's really, really exciting.
Well, I want to also say that there's going to be a teacher retreat in Oregon at the end of August. So we're starting to bring what you guys have been doing in New Zealand back to this country and try and get teachers to work together better, to be able to be more comfortable and just kind of feed off of each other and the enthusiasm each of us has. And if somebody's struggling, there'll be people that can support them. So we're trying to get everybody on in this game and as much as we can, because it's just a great community. I think the thing that I'm most taken with the whole thing is this global community of people that have become friends. Mm-hmm. And so the more we can do to support that, the healthier the whole planet will be, I think.
You know, Jackie, I just want to mention that we now have a database that's global. So, you know, if you go to our website or the Renshaw International website, you can do a search and find any of the retreats or workshops or classes anywhere in the world. It'll tell you whether they're on Skype or whether they're in person, you know, their time and everything. So that's really now a really great global endeavor, and we're really thrilled about it.
That's really great. There's a huge amount of work behind making a database like that. And I'm just wondering if you guys could just spell out a few words here. Maybe Sally, if you can spell us out Renshui and Bill Yuangong, just for our listeners, because they don't necessarily spell the way they sound.
Sure. So Renshui is R-E-N-X-U-E. And the website is RenshuiAmericas with an S on the end, .org.
Thank you, Sally.
And Yuangong is Y-U-A-N space G-O-N-G. And those are the movements, the practices that help you to become calm, relaxed, and natural. That's how they work. They work on the whole body, the mind, the soul. Full complement.
Nice. Really great. So, guys, what I'm seeing is a huge amount of personal growth in both your lives, but also a real ripple effect going out into the lives of people around you and the community around you. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, one of the most wonderful aspects of this practice has been the effect on my family. Mm-hmm. And I, as a parent of three adolescents, we have a great household here and we have so much fun together. I think we have more fun now than, say, a decade ago. And, you know, a huge amount of that change is due to the practices that I have learned and kind of just lead by example more than anything in my family. Mm-hmm. So, peace, mm-hmm. transforming from conflict.
There we go.
You have teenagers too, don't you?
I do. I have four under my roof at the moment. Sometimes that expands to six, and it's a huge amount of fun.
You're a great advertisement for this program then, Jackie. From chaos to calm.
Oh, thank you, Bill, and thank you, Sally, and thank you to our listeners for listening to Voice America Health and Wellness Channel, Chaos to Calm. Our episode today was Up, Up and Away, Taking Off with Renshui. And I hope we've left you with enough directions and possibilities if you want to explore this wonderful way of transforming your life for the positive. We have been talking about Renshui events around the world, which you or friends or family can participate in and really help yourself to grow and become calmer, more relaxed, and very likely healthier, and really enjoy life to the full. So thank you so much for listening, and have a great day. Goodbye.